Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
It is looking like a very ugly Monday for the financial markets. Tony Ogorek with Ogorek Wealth Management joining us live. Tony, have you been following what's been happening overnight globally?
I have been, Susan. And, it looks like we're hitting some circuit breakers at this point. Specifically, the market is opening significantly lower, and because of that, we're finding a potential trading halt happening when the market opens for maybe 15 minutes or so.
Yeah, when does that, common is that for that to happen, a trading halt? How often do you see it?
Well, it is, we haven't had that in years. Again, when there is a lot of risk out in the marketplace, we find that it's set up to handle situations such as that.
Is it a percentage of a drop that triggers it, or what's the criteria for the trading to be halted?
Well, it's a 5% drop. Another one is a 5% drop. Let me give you 15-minute breathers, and then when it drops, are you ready for this 20%? Trading is halted for the day.
Why is this happening today? Why do we see such a significant fall off in futures today of all days? So what spurred this?
Well, really a couple of reasons, Brian. The first one is, we're continuing to get more information on the virus. And now we have over 100 countries are saying that they have people who contracted the virus. But perhaps more significantly is what's happened in the oil patch. Oil prices are crashing. OPEC had a meeting, and the Russians walked away from that, and the price of that of oil is dropping dramatically. Now, energy is a significant component in our economy with fracking, and we are the world's largest producer of energy at this point. The problem we've got right now is that the value of the collateral of that energy that's sitting in the ground just got marked down significantly, which means all of the debt that they're holding is worth, doesn't have its collateral anymore, and the market's in the process of marking that down in addition to the energy companies. So to make it simple, let's say, you've got a house, and your house is worth $300,000. They then find out that there's, some sort of a Superfund site, something like that, in your neighborhood, and nobody wants to move into it. And now the value is $100,000 or so, but your mortgage is above that. Now the bank's underwater. It's impacting the bank. It's impacting the neighborhood, and it's impacting you personally. And I think that's sort of the dynamic that we're looking at this point.
You know, typically when we hear about oil prices being down, then gas prices follow, and that means consumer spending in other areas would be up. And, that could mean good things for other areas of the economy. Why are we not hearing that kind of talk this time around?
Because although gasoline prices, will be down and energy prices will be down, those are typically harbingers of a very weak economy, which means the primary driver behind your spending, is not energy prices, it's your job. And in the oil patch, if you're going to be losing employment, We've got the supply chain problem, you know, global supply chain, you know, things coming from Italy and in fact, from all over the world. And when those things are interrupted, they're difficult to restart, which means that a lot of people are going to be losing their jobs. And when they do that, they lose confidence. And 70% of our economy is driven by the consumer. So you just have to understand that it's sort of, when you look at the global economy and ours, it's an orchestration that's going on. And when certain parts of the orchestra start to hit the wrong notes or decide to take a break or fall off their seats, what happens is, you know, the music stops. And we're beginning to see, you know, the front end of that this morning.
Tony, people are thinking that this is being overblown. I'm wondering, from your perspective, what about you?
I don't think so. And the reason is this. Over the past 40 years or so, we've developed a global trading system where we have outsourced a lot of different activities to places all over the world. And this virus and the lockdowns that countries are putting on it is really the first hit that global system of that supply system is taking. We've never had anything like this before. And you can look at an auto manufacturer, and if many of the parts that they're using come from other countries, and those countries aren't producing because they've locked people down because of the virus, that's going to hit us. If you look at prescription drugs, a disproportionate amount of our drugs are manufactured in China. What happens here in the event they can't do that because they've got a lockdown over there? You just look at the global trading system. It's really under attack, and we don't know how it's going to play out. That's why the risk level has zoomed this morning, and that's why the confidence that people have in our global system is crashing at this point. I mean, when you're looking at a 10-year treasury note, that's about one-third of 1%. Now, typically, that's at 5 or 6%. Historically, that's at one-third of 1%. And what that's telling you is that fear, you know, is really as bad as it was probably in 2008. So, you know, I don't think the markets are overstating this. The problem is we've got two things going on, crashing energy prices, and we've got this virus that's spreading very rapidly.
What are things people can do now or maybe in the coming months to set themselves up for some sort of success in what might be some tough financial times?
Well, I think the first thing is that if you are systematically putting money into savings, such as a retirement plan, a 401k plan, continue to do that, because the object of investing is not to make money. The object is to buy shares. And if the share prices are going down, you are going to accumulate more shares when prices are down. So do continue to do that. Second, I think you want to take a look at the level of credit that you're holding. And in the event you can try to manage that as well as you can, I think it makes sense. Again, what you're going to see with this level of uncertainty is that people are thinking of making significant purchases, whether it be a home, a business, whatever the case may be. They're probably going to hold on that, you know, for a while until they see how things shake out. And that's one of the downsides of this whole thing, is that it freezes economic activity. I would not consider selling at this point, because nobody wants to hold these, wants to hold equities right now. So that obviously wouldn't be the time to sell. Even if you're thinking of jumping in, people were saying that last week, and obviously we're going to have a significant leg down today. So I think you just really want to hold on. You're not going to use these assets in the short term, so don't do anything with them, and just wait to see how things shake out. I think we may get a bounce once we get coordinated government activity saying that they're coming in with targeted support for various industries. Maybe there's going to be a tax cut, something like that. But we have to wait to see what the administration has in mind in terms of helping to combat this threat to our economy.
Tony, we appreciate the insight this morning. Thanks so much. Tony Ogorek with Ogorek Wealth Management.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.